Revelation chapter 1, verse 8 is going to set us off here this evening as we consider one of those things I call kind of a warm blanket consideration, something familiar, something comforting, something true always, even if familiar. Revelation 1 and verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Let's bow our heads together and ask the Lord to bless us tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are our all in all. Father, we thank you that there is no need that we might ever encounter, no burden, no necessity, Father, that is in our lives, that no essential thing that you do not provide. And Father, we thank you that we can trust you for this, always trust you, even if our flesh tells us otherwise. Lord, you are all that we need. Everything that we might possibly have necessary in our lives comes from your hand. We thank you for that. Bless us with that understanding again tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, a very simple consideration this evening, and I was reminded by this as I was considering a trip that Allie and I took up into the Pacific Northwest last year. From time to time, something might pop into my mind or an observation that I make in the moment, particularly when we're on vacation, and I might jot down a thought or even kind of a journal entry, if you want to call it that. Journal is just that's just a masculine way of saying a diary, I guess. Sometimes I'll throw a journal entry down and just write something that's on my mind. And so we were sitting there one day and found myself, it was in a place called Anacortes, Washington, tiny little town up in Washington. And we were sitting, the coffee game is not strong in that part of Washington. And we found ourselves in a Starbucks. And it was 7:30 in the morning because our bodies were 2 hours ahead of everybody else. So we were wide awake and ready to be out and about. And 7:30 in the morning, we're sitting there, and we had our drinks, and we were sitting down, and we noticed people coming in, and I noticed how quick people were storming inside, and I just kind of had this, not a vision, but I was just observing everyone and looking at them as though they were literal storm clouds that came in. Run inside, grab their drink, go quickly to the to-go, you know, shelves and look for their thing and get upset when it's not there, and then sit there and wait and look at their clock and so on and so forth. Faces all in panic, faces all upset, stern and angry and all of those things because they were late for wherever they were going. Wherever they were going, whether it was work or an appointment or a flight that they were trying to catch, whatever the case might be. They were late, but not too late that they couldn't stop and get their venti, soy, half-calf, caramel macchiato or whatever the case might be. And what I wrote in my little entry that I had, a number of other things, I was all prosy, but at the end I put, one thing is clear, these people need this stuff. And I got kind of high and mighty about it. Some will own their need for coffee in the morning, and that's right here. I own that need. Some will own their need for, well, filling whatever you feel like you need. You need me time. In order to maintain your sanity, you need vacation. You need these things. I kind of use these analogies and these illustrations a number of times in the past. We have certain necessities, things that we look at that we need, but we also understand that those are just luxuries. They're not true needs. They're actually wants. I want coffee in the morning. I want to go on vacation. I want to have a nice car. I don't need to have even a car at all when you get right down to it. On the other hand, there are those who say, I don't need anything from the hand of anybody else. And of course, that's just as false as my statement that I need this, 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 and this. The Laodiceans in Revelation chapter 3, that church that we point to so often, and justifiably so, as those ones that we don't want to pattern ourselves after, those ones that, well, spewed out of the mouth of the Lord God, what does it say about them? It says that he has an issue with them, well, because overall they believe themselves needful of nothing. He says, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know. It's one thing to sit and have need of nothing and actually have an argument for it that you could say, because look what I have provided for myself. But instead, he identifies that they don't even know that they're wretched. Don't even know how miserable they are. that they are indeed poor, they're blind and naked. Nothing is so troubling as someone who believes they have it all together and they actually have nothing together. It's troubling to look at them, and it's helpless feeling, and it's hopeless feeling sometimes to look at one and say, I have what they need, not what they want. I have what they need, and they won't take it from me. They won't receive it from anybody. You know what they need. You have what they need. You want to share with them what they need. And so if that troubles me, and if that bothers me to look at one's need and recognize that I can help them and they won't receive that, well, how must the Lord feel about it? How must he feel when he is the provider of all things? Revelation 3 and verse 18. He says, I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. I have what you need to be rich. You think you're rich, you're not. I have riches for you. I have what is truly valuable here. What else does he say? And white garments that you may be clothed. You're naked. You're shameful in the way that you are. You believe yourself to be covered up. You believe yourself to be looking some exceptional way. And you're embarrassing. That the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. I have righteousness for you that I can cover you with. I have the means by which you can lay up these riches. The means by which you don't have to be ashamed. And yet, I can clean anything. And yet you remain sullied and stained. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. I have the cure for your blindness. The means by which you can actually see your need. And then see your way to healing. See your way to a closer walk of fellowship with me. See your way to laying hold of all the provision I have for you. He has all of those things. And it must be frustrating. Must be not stymieing. The Lord's not stymied, but it must be just troubling to him. And we know that it is. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, right? Grieve not the Lord. It's grieving to him. For me personally, it would be maddening. Maddening to have something that someone needs. Something I'm willing to give them, and they won't receive it from me. In Mark chapter 6, I believe that we see an example here of where Jesus would have been not flummoxed. He wasn't ever flummoxed. He wasn't ever confused, but he did marvel at times. This was when he was in Nazareth, his hometown, you might say. And those ones there in his hometown where he said, well, a prophet is not without honor except among those who know him, essentially. Except in his own country, among his family, among those ones who know him or believe that they know him. Obviously, they didn't. They didn't know their need. It says in verse 6 or verse 5 of Mark chapter 6, now he could do no mighty work there. That's one of the sadder verses in Scripture, isn't it? He could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hand on a few sick people and healed them. He marveled because of their unbelief. He wondered at it. Again, it's not that he didn't know that it was there. It's not that he was just, this is unbelievable. He was amazed. To the measure that the Son of God can be amazed, he was amazed by the lack of faith. And because they wouldn't open themselves to him, he didn't give them what they needed. He didn't give them, what he could have given to them. He was amazed by their lack of awareness of their need for him. Again, I'm not the Lord Jesus, but I can only imagine that would be quite frustrating. I'm sure he wanted to do a good work there. They needed him to do a mighty work there, but they couldn't get past who he was. Is this not the carpenter, the Son of Man, or the Son of Mary, not the Son of Man? They didn't recognize him as the Son of Man, though that's exactly who he was. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. They needed to wake up and recognize that they needed this one. No matter how well they thought they knew him, they needed him. And so, saints, I sat there in that Starbucks in Anacortes, Washington, and I was marveling at other ones coming in, storming in, storming out with their drinks, you know. And, you know, I might have been a little bit high and mighty looking at them in my observations, thinking, well, what in the world? These people are just so demanding. You know, as I'm knocking back my own. I'm there at 7:30 in the morning. I don't even like Starbucks. And I kind of got, kind of chagrined with myself. And I thought, my goodness, what are you doing here, fool? You don't even like this stuff. But because you know, you'll have a headache and you'll have an attitude. If you don't come in here and get that stuff there that you're drinking, you know, I didn't need it, but I sure wanted it. And I found myself being rather hypocritical to those ones who had no more of a need than I did. I own my need now. I need that stuff on a natural level. I need it. But my goodness, I need the Lord Jesus so much more than the sillinesses that we call needs. These wants that we have, it's so interesting. I made the observation before how crazy it is that the Lord does not need us, and yet he wants us so badly. And we entirely need him, and yet so often we don't want him at all. It's an unfortunate type of thing. It's an unfortunate relationship that is. I'm going to wrap up with just a little poem that I found. I found way back when I was a kid. This used to sit on my Aunt Linda's refrigerator. I don't usually read poetry. Every now and then I'll read something to you. This is nothing of any kind of world-class level. And it is predominantly focused on prayer, actually. But you can insert the thought, the concept of needing Jesus, his will, his word, his way, his love, his grace, his mercy, everything about Jesus, it applies to. And you'll know what I mean when I finish it up here. It says, I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. Some of you might recognize this. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbled around me and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, but you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day because I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. I like that sort of understanding that you need Jesus. We need the Lord for every moment of every day. Most of us have known Jesus for a while. Most of us have understood who the Lord is and have made him, well, some measure of importance in our lives. But let's not become short-sighted. Let's not ourselves ever take for granted the deep, true, and eternal need that we have. Not if we need him, not that we need him, but how much we need him. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is every single thing. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is eternal. He is infinite. Every possible requirement of our lives from A to Z and every jot and tittle in between. He is the satisfaction of that. He is needed. He has been needed moment by moment by moment by every person, every man, woman, and child who has ever existed and ever will. Whether they recognize it or not, we need his mighty works in our lives. He is all that has ever been needed throughout all of eternity. Make sure that we understand that. Make sure we don't look at others and think how much they need it without first recognizing just how much we need the things of God and Jesus himself. Simple, simple thought for you tonight, but one that we should always remember to be sure.